everyone this morning. In case you don't recognize it, that's the sun shining outside. It's nice to have a day with no rain. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to extend a special welcome to you. We're glad you've chosen to be with us, and we hope that you'll be back any chance that you have. If you haven't done so already and you are visiting, please stop by our Welcome Center on the way out. Leave us a little information if you choose to, and we have something for those of you who are visiting. We also have our Boy Scout Troop 562 that meets here at the building weekly with us this morning. We're glad to have them here, and we'll say more about that at the end of the service. Just a couple of reminders of some things with deadlines today and things that are happening this week. The Dorcas ladies are making a quilt, so if you have not done so already and you'd like to have a square on that quilt, please see Diana MacArthur today. The deadline's been extended, and Diana is here. Okay, she's usually there. She's in the wrong place this morning. Another deadline, the men's retreat is coming up April 4th and 5th, and the deadline to sign up for that is today, and that's on the sign-up board over to my left. Just a reminder, Saturday night, remember to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour so you'll be here at the right time. Or the time that you want to be next Sunday morning. This Saturday night is the Lowwood dinner. I was talking to George and Russell earlier, and they said if you wanted to buy tickets, you should have listened to them earlier. They are completely sold out. They don't have room for anyone else. That will be 6 o'clock Saturday night at Clarksville Christian School. We're hosting our area-wide for our area youth groups next Sunday night. That will be Sunday evening at 6 o'clock here at the building. David Skidmore, who is the youth minister and has been at the North Boulevard congregation in Murfreesboro for at least 20 years, will be our speaker next Sunday night. If you've heard David before, I know you'll be here because you know how good he is. If you haven't heard him speak before, please make plans to be here next Sunday night. We're encouraging all of our groups to be here. You will enjoy hearing what he has to say. The youth group is taking care of the meat and a couple of other items for our meal that we'll share afterwards. There is a sign-up list on the youth board in the back for some other items that we'll need for the meal. So please remember to stop by and sign up on that list before you leave today so you can help in that manner. Chris has an announcement that he would like to share with us.
Good morning. I would like to ask if you could grab your phones and your calendars real quick. March 15th, just want to give a quick reminder that March 15th is our youth missions special collection. So if you can remember that, we're going to have more information coming next week, but that's going to cover the needs that we have for Honduras, the Memphis work camp, as well as a new project that we're putting in place. There's more information coming about this next week, which will be a Clarksville service camp. So March 15th will be the date for that special collection to go towards all these things. And again, there'll be more information next week. Thank you.
As we begin this morning, if you'll stand with me and let's read together the 117th Psalm. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
I have preached many sermons, many times, many places, and hope I don't get sick for touching that, by the way. And there's always a sense of pressure when you're called to preach. How many in here have actually done this thing? Give me one of these real high. All right, so like the five of y'all know what I'm talking about. And I don't know that kid that was up here earlier, but like he's definitely going to do it later in life. There's a lot of pressure. I've never felt the pressure of, you know, a dozen or so Boy Scouts like staring at me. So the pressure to perform is on and say the right thing and do the right thing or think something like that. But I've always felt the pressure to perform. And the challenge in being a pulpit minister, or being someone who is a public speaker, orator, politician, someone who stands behind a microphone, is I've got to keep your attention. I've got to not only say the right thing and do the right thing, I've got to proclaim the word. And I appreciate the few who have encouraged me today to preach the word. And I'm going to try to do that to the best of my ability. But the challenge is I've got to keep your attention. I've got to keep your attention, I've got to entertain, I've got to effectively perform, and do so in a manner that maybe somehow causes the thing that I'm trying to tell you to stick, to resonate in your mind. And so some of the times when I get behind a podium and I preach, I'll try to preach about the things that I'm passionate about. Last time I was up here, and I don't expect you to remember, but I preached about effectively a closing argument in defense of a Christian. I think that was the title. And I'm passionate about my practice of law in the criminal defense realm. And so I preached about that, and I put a lot of time and energy into that, and I thought it went fairly well. I didn't get booed off stage or anything. And so today I thought, well, I'm also passionate about racing. I'll preach about racing. And obviously the content of the sermon is not really about racing, but there is an analogy in the scriptures about running the race that's set before us. Hebrews 12, 1, 1 Corinthians 9, run so that you may win the prize. And I'm going to kind of interweave that in, but I'm going to talk today about running your race. That should have been a race car. When I preach, I generally don't do PowerPoint, mainly because of the time invested in that. I just don't have or want to spend a lot of time. But imagine a race car up there, because that's really the kind of racing that I'm talking about. Not the Hebrews 12, 1 or 1 Corinthians 9 racing. That's obviously analogous to running racing. But I'm going to be talking about running your race. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about me. Because probably 90% of you don't know me. You might know my name because it's printed in the bulletin. Thanks. But you don't know me. And I want to tell you a little bit about me and therefore about my race. I was born September 4th, 1982, which every day feels like a longer and longer time ago. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, raised in Bartlett, went to Bolton High School. Went to a little church called Ellendale Church of Christ, which would be about this big, right there in the middle of Bartlett. I had a pretty cool family, I thought, mom and dad, and I was the youngest of three. As I got a little bit older, I learned that my dad had been previously married, so I was really the youngest of six, which was kind of weird. My oldest half-sibling is my biological mother's age, which... Anyway, so just telling you like it is. My dad passed away about 2 years ago. My parents had divorced when I was in college. I'm estranged from my mother by my own volition. And my family makeup is pretty challenging because my siblings are not strictly believers in the context that you would find perhaps me standing behind a pulpit preaching. Not to say they don't believe in a higher power or even the Lord, but I'm the one warming a pew on Sunday of my immediate siblings. I went to Freed Hardeman University. I got a bachelor's in biblical studies in 03, graduated a semester early, yay. Saved a little bit of money there. Went to law school at Memphis, graduated there in 07. My drive was to be a pulpit minister, and that was ultimately what I did through college and even through law school. And then upon graduating from law school, I came here in 2007, and I thought, well, so much for preaching, now I'm going to be a lawyer. And that lasted about 5 seconds because I really enjoyed this. So I found a church to work with in White Bluff, the Chapel Hill Church of Christ. Any of you been there? All right, so a couple of you, that's cool. So I preached there from 2008 to the end of 2014, November of 2014, after which I had resigned and have not since held a pulpit position. No, it's not like nobody can... That's awesome, by the way. That is awesome. Go to my Facebook, get my car, and put it on there. But so since November 2014, I've not held a pulpit position, primarily because I've kind of ventured into other mechanisms of ministry more so than pulpit ministry. We've started a couple of businesses, my wife and I, my partner Matt Cole and I, we started Clarksville Zombie Hunters. Anybody been to that? This is not an advertisement, but we open and... No, I'm just kidding. Apex Title, Yao Home Buyers, that kind of thing. I'm senior partner at our law firm, Goble & Yao. I'm criminal defense attorney, Eric Yao. That's where I find my passion. My hobbies include pool. I used to play a lot more than I do now, but I'm kind of getting back into it, and it's a lot of fun. I like hunting, playing outdoors, and then racing my Corvette. I think they're going to put it up. Yeah, that'd be super cool. I'm married to an amazing woman. That's Erin over there. Do one of these. She's blessed me with two amazing daughters. I love Mexican food. I'm not in the best shape of my life. I love Mexican food. I'm currently training to run in the CCS 5K, Clarksville Christian School. I'm actually vice chair of the board there, so I'm serving in that capacity. And let's see, I'm 37, and I'm planning a trip to Hawaii. Excuse me, my wife is planning us a trip to Hawaii this year. And, well, that's enough about me. So that, if someone were giving a bio about me, that's me. That's really a nutshell. I've got a lot more, obviously, that I could tell you about myself, but this sermon is not about that. But I wanted to tell you that's me. This is my walk of life. This is my upbringing. This is my race. Are you following where I'm going with this? Who are you? Who are you? Where are you from? What is your upbringing? What is the nature of the challenges that you face? What is your education? What is your age? Don't all shout it out at once. Who? What makes you, you? What are your goals? What are your struggles? What challenges have you faced over the last couple years that have helped to shape you and form you so that you are you running this race that you are running right now? If you had the opportunity to pick up one of the bulletin things, you saw the title of the sermon today is not running the race. And I did that on purpose. Because I want to talk about running... That's awesome. That is awesome. Do you see that, Emily? Oh, you would pick one where I'm in the back. All right, leave that. That's good. All right, so mine's the yellow one, the correct color for a race car. So we're talking about running your race. By the way, Trey, this is totally God at work. So I was texting Trey a few minutes ago, not that we text during church. And I'm telling him, look, man, this is, I don't know, I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the challenge. And he's encouraging me, telling me that God's going to work through this and it's all going to be okay. You know, warm and fuzzy's hugging me from across the auditorium. And that's exactly what's happening. And I appreciate that. So I'm talking today about running your race. And the fact of the matter is that my race is different from your race and your race and your race and your race because of all of the things that I gave you in my bio being markedly different from your bio, from where you are, from where you've been, and even from where you are going. Now, our races have a lot of similar characteristics, and we're going to talk about some of those, but the fact of the matter is that we are all running a race. And if we're all running a race, then maybe today we might take a few minutes to talk about that race and your race and how we can run that race even together, arm in arm, hand in hand, making it ultimately to the finish line. You see, the Bible teaches us about that race and it talks about how we are chosen to run that race. And I don't want to get into too much detail about this predestination and how we might have been selected and others may have not been selected because that's not what I particularly believe and I certainly don't know that that's the content that this sermon deserves. But I know that we have been chosen in a context that if we are believers, God has chosen us to obey Him. 1 Peter 1:15, as He who called you is holy, you be holy. Now, don't miss that first part, as He who called you. So we read the description of the instruction that we are to be holy, we're to be followers of God, we're to be this kind of person. But don't miss the point that God has called you. You have been chosen, you have been selected. Also in Peter, we read that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. My favorite part of that passage is that we once were not a people of God, but now we are a people of God. And everybody in here who is a believer, that speaks the truth of you. Because there was an occasion in your life, even if you were baptized into Christ at a young age, there was an occasion in your life when you were once not a believer, but now you are. And you are because you've been called to be so. You've been called to do that. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to His image in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. The beauty of the fact that you and I have been called to be believers cannot be overstated. We have been called to run this race. Ephesians 1, 5. Just give you a couple more. In love, He predestined us. The beauty of that. To be selected. To be called out. To be called. To be chosen to run this race. So now we've got Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. If you got really, really close to this yellow car, you'd see that I've got imprinted on the hood and the numbers down the side is Hebrews 12, 1. My number is 121. Because I didn't think anybody would get it if I put my number 12:1. But this is where it comes from. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us, there's that us word again, run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him was seated before him, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Now, so, and I kind of butchered the quote, but get this. Let us, remember the us word, if you were looking at my notes, you'd see it bold, highlighted, italicized in a couple of different places. He called us, He chose us, He predestined us. Therefore, let us, the collective us, we in this room who are running that race, let us run that race. And let's do it together. A couple things about that race, though. It's not easy. Some of your races are harder than others. And when I say that, you're probably thinking, that's me, buddy. And some of your races are easier than others. And when I say that, some of you are thinking, yeah, I've had it pretty easy. If we completely lack any sense of self-awareness, we might think, no, my life is really hard. But when you look around and you see others who are facing significantly worse challenges, we've had it made, some of us. But irrespective of whether your race is easy or hard, you know we're all running that race, and it's a contest. Now, we're not competing with each other, at least not in the strictest of sense, but we are certainly competing together and need that courage to overcome the challenges that we're going to face. Let us lay aside every sin, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us so that we can run that race. I mean, imagine if you had a backpack with 50 pounds of bricks and you're getting ready to run that race. Imagine then if I said, you know what, you can take that backpack off. How much faster you could run, how much more endurance you would have, how much more stamina, how much easier that race would be. And so Hebrews 12:1, set it off, let it off, get all that sin out of your life so you can run with endurance. This is a challenge and you need all the strength that you can get. You need all the endurance that you can get. And there are countless passages in the Bible that teach us how to do that, how to put off those sins, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, the filth of communication out of your mouth, all those different things. If we set those things aside, how much easier it will be to overcome the challenges that we face in this contest. Another thing about this race is that it is unique to you. Now there I go again. I'm making these contradictory statements. Here I'm saying that we're all in this race together, but yours is truly yours. One reason I gave you that bio, and I alluded to it a moment ago, is to distinguish your race from my race. You were born on a different day than I was, raised in a different place than I was, different family makeup very probably, different homeschool experiences, friends, strengths, weaknesses. Your race is unique to you and mine is unique to me. Now we all face struggles, challenges, obstacles in that contest, and some of those challenges and struggles, obstacles are certainly comparable to one another. But remember, the sermon title is not about running the race. It's about running your race. Sometimes I look at the challenges that people face and I say, boy, I wish I could take their place. Have any of you ever thought that? And in the context of Scripture, bearing one another's burdens, oh, if I could trade places with that person. And you or I might say that in the context of our mind as if to say, I wish they didn't have to endure that. I wish they didn't have to run that race or feel that obstacle or face that challenge. I wish I could face it for them. But, you know, you can't. And there are other times where you're facing these obstacles and you're thinking, boy, I wish I could trade places with somebody because of how challenging it is. But we each run our own race. And your race and mine, I mean, it's full of problems. It's full of challenges. Right now, you might look at somebody and say, well, they've just got it made. Yesterday they didn't. Tomorrow they won't. Don't take a snapshot and be jealous of someone's life because every race has its obstacles. You might call these temptations or distractions, hurdles, depends on what kind of race you think about in your mind. And what about the problem of evil? I mean, the challenge that many Christians face is the very problem of evil. And I use that perhaps in quote fingers. The problem of evil is like this. If we serve an all-loving and all-powerful God, how is it that our all-loving and all-powerful God will allow sin and evil into this world to thrive and cause loss of life and all the pains and challenges that we struggle in our faith walk? And that obstacle, the problem of evil, is a real obstacle for believers. Many, even in this room, very probably would struggle with that. How can an all-loving and all-powerful God allow these things to happen? And I can't fully answer that question. But I can tell you my perception and my perspective during my race is that God has created this world according to a set of laws, if you want to call them that, laws of physics and otherwise, such that God had given us the capacity and free will to follow Him in spite of those things. And that our all-loving and all-powerful God gives us even redemption through a plan that He had predestined, that He had foreknown. And I'm convinced that God had designed this world and designed our races in such a way that whether literal or figurative obstacles come in our way, we can overcome them. And that the mechanism by which God designed this world or the end product of His design is such that no matter what we face, we can win that race. And just as my race has obstacles, your race has obstacles. Maybe they're temptations and whatnot. And we read passages like 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. As in, that everybody deals with these kinds of things. It's not unique to you. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability, but with that temptation will provide a way of escape. Somebody tell me, so that you may be able to endure it. You get this racing thing over and over. Talking about finishing the race, enduring that race, overcoming obstacles so that you can make it to the end. Now, sometimes the way of escape is merely in talking to people who have overcome whatever obstacles you might be facing. And I don't want to dig too deep and tell you too much about what my obstacles are or ask you what yours are, but there's certainly a time and a place for that. But when we talk about our obstacles in my race and your race, the race that we are each running in our Christian faith, it helps us to overcome those obstacles. And maybe the way of escape is provided by talking it out. A quick racing story, just this past weekend, I was in Memphis racing. And there's a wet configuration, as in when the track gets wet, they bypass a certain section of it because it's especially slick. And in the wet configuration of this track, which I had never run before, shaking in my boots, scared to death to even run this, they take us through what you would call the hot pits and then put us back out on what is a drag strip. And the place where there's a break in the concrete wall, I want to measure it next time I'm there, can't be more than 30 or 40 feet. And so I'm going down the hot pits, and then you have to make a turn back onto the straight through that break in the wall. There's a really cool video and Facebook post on it if you want to see it on my stuff. But as we go through that wall, it's like, ah! Scared to death. And so I'm talking to these other racers who have been there before, been there and done that, got the t-shirt kind of thing. And I asked this guy, how fast are you going back through that break in the wall? He's like, about 110. What? I'm going like 70. And I'm scared to death. And I ask him this thinking, you're in now somewhat, okay, so there's a little bit of ego involved in racing, I'm sure you know. And I'm thinking, my car's faster, I'm fitter. He's in a little BMW, you know. And I'm sitting here thinking, there's no way he's going to go through that. And I actually said, after he'd walked away where he couldn't hear me, there's no way. I said it to Louie, by the way. There's no way he's going through there at 110. I actually saw his data later. He shared it with me. It was 106, that liar. But the point is, I would have kept going through that obstacle at 70 had I not talked to him about it and him poked and prodded and said, no, you can go way faster than that. You just basically have to gird up your loins and go, to put it nicely. And I wound up doing something like 120 once because it was really scary. But in talking to other people about the obstacles that you face, maybe, just maybe, that's the way of escape. So maybe the question is, who are you running your race with? Who are you talking to? And if you're talking to people who are leading you astray, who are telling you, no, you can't do it, there's no way you're going to make it. If that guy had told me, yeah, 70 is too much, you probably should slow down through there, which racers probably should do because he wanted to win. But if he had told me, yeah, 70 is too fast, you should probably slow down, I never would have pushed it. I never would have tried. And in our Christian races, if you're talking to people who are pulling you down, you're never going to make it. So who are you running your race with? I can tell you I'm literally running races with my buddy Louie. He helps me every time we go, and I literally could not do it without him, and I love him to death. I run my spiritual race with people like Louie and Aaron and Jody and Trey Judd, Howard Brown, and a handful of others who, when I'm struggling, Matt Cole, by the way, is here. Matt Juhas in Columbia. I don't want to list all of my friends. I think I pretty much just did. Throw Chris Middleton in there. Who are you running your race with? If I'm challenged by something in this race, I know that there are people that I can call. Sometimes I don't, and that's this guy's fault. And when I struggle with various things, it's this guy's fault that I can't overcome them. But if you're running your race with the right people, and I think you're doing a pretty good job merely by being here, running your race with us, then we can all overcome them together. I'm going to skip a big chunk of what I was going to say today because I want to get to the meat, I want to get to the heart, and I want to talk about what it takes to win. First and foremost, you got to train like crazy. In real racing, race car racing, marathon racing, you got to train like crazy. I love 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, which in the relevant section begins, train yourself for godliness. I saw a recent post on Facebook where the guy says, he posts a video of Lewis Hamilton coming from behind and winning this go-kart race, which had to have been 15 years ago with the grainy footage. Lewis Hamilton is now, what, 5- or 6-time world champion F1 driver. And the question he posed is, are people who are that successful born with it or do they learn it? And I think the answer is, you might be born with some propensity or some affinity or some talent within you, but certainly training, certainly preparation, certainly practice gets you to the point of success in racing and business and otherwise. So why would it not be the same in our godliness? Why would it not be the same in our faith walk? Can I just wake up one morning and all of a sudden I'm a believer with a good reputation and everybody highly esteems me? No. You train for it. You make sure that every day your yes is your yes and your no is your no. You make sure that every day you say to the devil, not today, right? The song we listened to this morning, never mind. Not today. And you object to the sins that surround you. You lay aside that which so easily entangles you. And every day you are training for godliness. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Long passage. Whatsoever is pure and holy, whatsoever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. If there's any excellence, dwell on these things. That passage. He goes on to say, what you've learned and received and heard, practice these things. Practice these things. In the law field, we make a joke that I practice law. I know they make it in medicine too. Like eventually you'll get good at it, you know. But the idea is that we do it every day. And quite literally, eventually we'll get good at it. We train for godliness. We practice these things such that the God of peace will be with you. When I'm racing, this kind of racing, I work on a ton of stuff. It doesn't look like it, but I try to run, I work out. Mexican is literally going to be the death of me. But I do the best that I can do to study the track. I watch race footage. I watch my own races, not because of a sense of ego or anything like that, but because I want to learn from my mistakes. If I'm going to go to a new track, last year Louie and I went to Mid-Ohio, a track I'd never been to before that's notorious for its off-camber turns, and when it gets wet, you're probably going to spin and crash. I did spin, by the way. Didn't crash. But so I'm studying those tracks. I'm studying that. I'll even get on YouTube and say, Mid-Ohio's sports car course wrecks. I want to know where people are messing up. I want to learn from your mistakes. What's the spiritual analogy? I want to learn from the challenges that you face. I want to be invested and involved in your race, and I want you invested and involved in mine so that we can overcome our challenges together. Remember again, bear one another's burdens. And this kind of thing happens when we are training together, when we are practicing these things together. Maybe we ought to have that Pauline perspective about the challenges that we face so that we do not lose heart though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. In that race, I mean, imagine, in a physical race, my mind is the worst component of the whole system. I'm running, I'm training for the Clarksville Christian School 5K. Anybody going to that? This is just one big commercial for CCS, by the way. I'm training for the CCS 5K, and it's like right before I go running, I'm stretching, I'm getting hyped up, I'm like, I'm going to do this. And if you ask me at the end of a run, I'm like, yes, I did it. But for like 20, 30 minutes, I'm like, oh, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And I want to stop so bad. Seriously, anybody with me on that? Like the runners in this room, you know what I'm talking about? Your brain is certainly the weakest link. And it's probably because winning takes everything. It takes the kind of commitment that is not susceptible to the challenges that we face that might drive us to sit down, take a back seat, and then just ride it out. Winning a race, whether a foot race or an auto race or the spiritual Christian race, takes commitment to get to the finish line. It takes a commitment to make it all the way, giving up everything that it takes to give up so that you can make it. Last week when we were in here, Jeff's class, we were talking about the rich young ruler. Might have been the week before. I guess it was the week before. Rich young ruler, Luke 18, I think Mark 10. He was asked, hey man, how you doing? He's like, I'm good. I ain't killing. I ain't murdering. I ain't stealing. It's all good. And Jesus says, but I want you to sell everything you should have and give it to the poor. And you know what he did? Tell me. He went away sorrowful. Why? Had a lot of junk. He's the kind of guy who might be building extra barns to put more stuff in, right? He didn't have that commitment. Now, I don't want to knock him. I got a barn. You got a barn, right? But the fact of the matter is, he didn't have the commitment that he was called to have to make it to the end of the race. Matthew 16:24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, they got to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and forfeits his soul? The commitment to the race, to win the race all the way through to the end. Now, we can't finish this up without talking 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following. Don't you know that all in a race run, but one receives the prize? Run so that you may, tell me, win. Run so that you may win. Quick racing story. Might have even been that day, I'm not sure. No, that's NCM. So last summer in July in Memphis, where it's about 1,000 degrees, I was in a race against a guy named Larry Bailey, who has a budget the size of this room, Stephen Dezette, I think that's how to pronounce his last name, who had a car similarly with significantly more horsepower than mine, and my friend Kevin Long, who is uniquely in front of me in this black car. And I'm going to race with these guys in my car, which is inferior to theirs for a number of reasons. One, I make substantially less horsepower. Everything on my car breaks every weekend, every time without fail. And the parts that I do have on my car that aren't broken are probably borrowed from somebody else or otherwise hand-me-downs. We don't have the budget of these other guys. So Larry Bailey's car has something like 600 horsepower, and it's a carbon fiber bodied LS7 C6 Z06 car. Steve Dezette is a big horsepower NASCAR looking stock car, substantially more horsepower than my car. My buddy Kevin Long in his black car there, the black Corvette, he makes something like 490 horsepower versus my 420 or so. And I knew there is literally no way that I'm going to win this race. Spoiler alert. I'll just leave it hanging. Don't want to tell you the end. But so I knew at the beginning of this weekend, I'm going to have some challenges if I'm going to run with these big boys, if I'm going to run with this kind of crew. With budgets larger than mine, with cars faster than mine, and with everything going wrong at in my car virtually every time, we begin the race. Now, where we began the race is really cool. I was in pole. And the reason I was pole position is because in any race, there's qualifying to determine the grid order and who's going to go out front. And somehow, by some miracle, one might say, I managed to set a faster lap time than even the big boys with the big budgets and the big fast cars. And so if you watch the video of me racing, you get the green flag and it's like, all right, everybody go. And they just leave me. And it's hilarious because there's no chance that my weak little 400 horsepower car is going to keep up with the 600 horsepower big boys. But as the race went on, I'm thinking in my mind, I just need to finish. I just need to finish. I just need to finish. And it's 1,000 degrees inside my car. There's barely any airflow. I'm dying in there. They make us wear these race suits that are flame retardant, but like the flame is on the inside, like it's hot. And so I'm making it through this race, and I'm just turning lap after lap after lap. And eventually, I wind up catching up to Larry Bailey with this $150,000 car. And I put the pressure on him, and he makes a mistake, and I get around him, and it's amazing. And it's the highlight of my life at that moment in time. Sorry. And so we're going down the drag strip portion, the front straight, and I'm like, all right, I'm in front, and you should, it's stupid fast. Hell. And he just leaves me because he's got so much more power. So in the twisty stuff, I'm faster than him, but in the straightaways, he's faster than me, and I'm starting to figure it out. So I get to a point where I'm right up on him, right leading on to the front straight, and I'm putting the pressure on him, as they say. I'm filling his mirrors, as we like to think, and as I do this, he makes a mistake and literally crashes. And in my mind, I go, yes! I'm sorry. I'm down. I'm up one position, you know? And so I'm racing and I'm racing and I'm racing. Kevin had some issues with his black car. He stays behind me pretty much the whole time. But I'm watching, and this guy, Steve, in his stock car, he is miles ahead of me. And if you're on the straightaway at Memphis, you can pretty much see a half a mile down the road, there he is. There's Steve. And there's no way I'm going to catch him, but I'm pushing. And about halfway through this race, literally lap 10 of about a 20-lap race, my brakes start to overheat. And I go from setting 1 minute 10 lap times to 1 minute 15. And now I'm losing literally 5 seconds a lap. There's no way I'm going to finish this race, much less win it. I'm thinking, I should pull in. I'm going to crash. I don't have brakes. And then I see him get closer and closer and closer. He broke before I did. You get what I did there? There's a racing joke. His car broke, okay, is what I'm saying. And all I had to do was just grind and grind and grind and make it all the way to the end of the race, and I was able to win. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that was a cute story. I don't really care about racing. Let's get this guy over and done. We've got stuff to do. But I want you to think about this for a minute. In any race, you got to finish to place. You got to finish to win it. And in your race and in my race, you know what that means? It means we got to keep the pedal to the floor. It means we can't give up. It means we can't, in spite of whatever challenges we face, whatever obstacles we might have to overcome, whatever temptations come our way, whatever 50-pound bag is on our back, we got to set it off and we got to keep that skinny pedal to the floor and we got to make it to the end. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following. Don't you know that everybody who runs in this race is running? Run so that you may win. Galatians 5 and verse 7 says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You may be in a position in your life where you recognize I'm running that race and maybe I'm facing those challenges. What's it going to take for you to overcome those challenges? I submit we've talked about it in great detail with the intermittent racing story. And I would submit that it's going to take the endurance to get to the end. You've been called, you've been chosen, you've been selected to run in this race. Let's run so that we might win. If you need to lay aside any sin that so easily entangles you today, would you come forward as we stand and sing?